going to use this morning as the subject of my message, the righteousness by faith.
Amen.
Righteousness by faith. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 31. Okay. I found a story by an unknown writer, and it goes like this. There was a tightrope walker who did incredible aerial feats. All over Paris, he would do tightrope acts at tremendously scary heights. Then he had succeeding acts. He would do it blindfolded. Then he would go across the tightrope blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow. An American promoter read about this in the newspaper and wrote a letter to the tightrope walker saying, "Tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, besides all of your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls." Now, Tightrope wrote back, "Sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls, I'd love to come." Well, after a lot of promotion and setting the whole thing up, many people came to see the event. Tightrope was to start on the Canadian side and come to the American side. Drums roll, and he comes across the rope, which is suspended over the treacherous part of the falls. He was blindfolded, and he makes it across easily. The crowd goes wild, and he comes to the promoter and says, "Well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. I just saw you do it." "No," he said, "do you really believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. You just did it." No, said Tightrope. "Do you believe I can do it?" "Yes, Mr. Promoter, I believe you can do it." Said Mr. Promoter, I believe you can do it." "Good," said Tightrope. "Then you get in the wheelbarrow."
That's faith.
Faith. Do you have it? Are you living by it? Many books have been written and can be written on the subject of faith. Faith takes a center stage in the New Testament. One of the key subjects of the book of Romans is faith. So it should come as no surprise that Paul talks about the fact that our righteousness isn't achieved by the actions that we take in the law, but by having faith. Paul says in verse number 20 that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. He spent a lot of time in the first two chapters talking about the fact that we are not justified by our actions. Now, in this third chapter, he goes on to make it clear that faith is what gives us access to the benefits of God's grace. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. And it reads, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Amen. So, as he continues his thought, he says, but now. He is here doing a comparison of what he said previously in the first half of the chapter, where he finishes off. I just read to you the verse 20, where he read in that, and he read in that section talking about how we are compelled to think in a different way according to the gospel today. For the longest time, the Jews thought that they were made righteous through keeping the law. And so that's one of the things that they kind of pushed. They felt that they were justified because they had the law. And like I said, he covered these things in the previous chapter. The first one was all about those who have not God's word at all. Then he began to focus on the Christians who are Gentiles who have God's word. And then he focused on the Jews. And in this later half, it seems that a lot of what he says is focused on the Jews, but overall we begin to see that that he is making sure that this message applies to all mankind. Now, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we all gain access to the righteousness of God through faith. Everybody is on the same level playing field. He says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. We are all in the same boat. And before Jesus came along, we were separated from God without any hope. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. See, in Jesus, nobody can make the case that they are more righteous than anybody else. And that doesn't just apply to keeping the Old Testament law. Even today, just because you go to church every Sunday, study your Bible and do good works, that doesn't mean that you're any more righteous than anybody else. Amen. You know, our righteousness comes from God. God is the one that it says that we are righteous or unrighteous because of our faith in Jesus. That doesn't mean that what you do doesn't matter. It does matter. What it means is that what you do will never be enough to make you right with God. Because it's all based off of the actions of his dear son, Jesus. Amen. The people in this world that think they can just be good people and still not have Jesus and make it into salvation are sorely mistaken. Because God is striving to make all righteous through the actions of the son, his dear son, Jesus. The people in this world are striving to live a life that they want to live and still think that they can be pleasing to God. But what he says in verse 23 kind of settles the whole matter. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That word there, sinned, carries with it the meaning, the literal meaning of missing the mark. Just like if you were doing archery or throwing darts, and as hard as you might try, you are never able to hit that bullseye. Well, see, that's what he's saying here, is that when we have all sinned in the past tense. He's saying we've all have sinned, and in the present tense, we fall short of God's glory. That's the condition we're in without Jesus. Amen. But in Christ, we have hope. Amen. In Christ, we don't have to worry about trying to be better than anybody else. That contest is won by Jesus already. That's why faith is the victory that overcomes the world. He has already overcome death and sin for us. That's the power behind John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Amen. See, Jesus is truly the greatest gift that God has ever given mankind. That's why Paul says in verse number 24 that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, that word there, redemption, is a word used to denote the paying of a penalty, the paying of a price. See, he through his blood has paid the price that sets us free from the bondage of sin. Paul continues in verse number 25 that God set Jesus as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Now, propitiation seems like a big fancy word, but all it means is that his blood is an atoning sacrifice that satisfies the penalty of sin. Yeah. That word in Greek, propitiation, is in Greek is hilasterion, excuse me, and it has the same meaning as the Greek word kaporet, and they both are used in reference to the covering of the mercy seat that sits on the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody who's studied how the Ark of the Covenant works, you have the lid that sits on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of that, you have two angels with their wings outstretched, facing one another. And so both their wings are facing one another. They come together right above a little golden plate, which is called the mercy seat. And that mercy seat is symbolic of God's throne. Okay? And so once a year, if you remember, the high priest would come into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, and they would burn incense. And the ark, the mercy seat of the ark, they would sprinkle blood from the sacrifice of the lamb. And this is what done once a year to atone for all the sins of the entire nation. And this was just a foreshadow of the real sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Justice requires a blood payment for sin. And that was the only thing that could appease God, appease that requirement, that penalty for sin. Jesus became the only acceptable substitute, and in so doing, covered our guilt, taking our punishment for sin upon himself. He says that justification was freely given, but it wasn't free. It may not have cost you anything, but it cost Jesus his life. Our salvation caused him to suffer for crimes that he never committed. God said that he would forgive our sins and remember them no more, and that's made possible because of Jesus. They didn't just take his life. He didn't just say, okay, well, you know, you guys want to kill me, so I'm just okay. No, he says in John chapter 10, verse 17, "Therefore, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Amen. See, that's why Jesus is worthy. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our love. He is worthy of being the very center of our worship, worthy of being our Lord and Master, worthy of being our High Priest and King. Paul said in verse number 25, "Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." See, God himself shows himself to be righteous by providing us a substitution in Jesus.
And see, he realizes that, you know, he has that justice that he holds on to. He is a God of justice. And so penalty, the payment has to be made. But because he is also a God of mercy, he found a way for himself to be both merciful and just at the exact same time. In the Old Testament, sin was never really forgiven. It was just passed over until the perfect once and for all sacrifice was to come. It was fulfilled. Every one of those sacrifices were fulfilled in Jesus dying on the cross. So now all justification or salvation comes through that first step of faith. One writer says, it's easy to see how someone could be only just and simply send over every guilty sinner to hell, as a just judge would do. It's easy to see how someone could only be the justifier, simply tell every guilty sinner, I declare a pardon. You are all declared not guilty. But only God could find a way to be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. See, God gives the perfect example of showing mercy and justice in his son Jesus. Not through anything that we can do. And see, and that's the part that we must make sure that we understand. It's not because that you are so great and so wonderful. It's not because that you have earned salvation. Not because you have made several million dollars and can buy your way into heaven. In verse number 27, he says, where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. You know, if I trained really hard, and I get to a point where I could run in and win a marathon, I might have room to have a little boasting. If I create a business, and that business has become successful and employs thousands of people, and in time that business makes me a billionaire, I could do a little bit of boasting there. But when it comes to our salvation, the only thing that we can boast in is Jesus.
Amen.
He did it all. Maybe you are not the same person today that you were when you came to God, but that's due to his grace. Amen. Maybe you have really grown spiritually and know God's word in such a way that you are able to expound on all the mysteries of God. Yet and still, it was because of God's grace that that would be the case. Even if thousands of people come to know God through your service to him and you become known all over the world, that can only be attributed to what God has done through you. Yeah. All of us are unique and bring something different to the table. Mm-hmm. I take comfort in knowing that I am not like all the other preachers out there in the world. We all preach God's word, but I have also no delusions. You know, it's only because of God that are working in me, that I have the ability to speak his word. He prepared me for his work in the same manner that he prepared the fish to swallow Jonah. All of us are prepared to do what God wants us to do here in this world. Isn't that what he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And also in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, he says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, God works in all of our lives in different ways to accomplish his will. And that work begins to manifest itself once we place our faith in his son. Some of us are called to lead nations like Moses and Joshua. And some of us have more humble requirements or work. We like the guy who provided the donkey to Jesus when he rode into the city to fulfill prophecy. God has a purpose for all of us, And when we put our faith in him and avail ourselves to do his will, that there's no telling what God can do with our lives.
Amen.
But it's important that we have the right attitude and mindset and not allow whatever God has chosen to do through us to lift us up in pride.
Amen.
The Jews had come to think that because God had given them his word, that made them better than other people. Yes, we have a great relationship with God, but it is not some super exclusive club where you have to be born into the right family in order to get into it. Paul says in verse number 29 through 30, Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Faith is the key, not heritage. Faith, not personal achievement. Faith is what is important, not through our half-hearted attempts at meeting legal requirements. Faith in the one God of heaven, not the God of your choice, but the only true God that has ever existed.
Amen.
Paul already anticipated the inevitable question in verse number 31. He says, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Faith, true faith, compels the believer to obey.
Amen.
When we walk by faith, we are living in accordance to the righteous principles that were established in the commandments that God has given us. So faith in Jesus is not an elimination of the law, because he said himself that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. His righteousness, which covers us, comes through the law. When it is all said and done, Jesus has provided us a way of meeting the requirements of the law through living by faith.
Amen.
If we are going to truly say that we have faith in God, then we need to be those who are living according to his word. Your righteousness is established by having faith in God. But in order to maintain it, then you have to continue to live according to his word. See, God has already done all the work. You don't have to try and work to get salvation. We work because we love him.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, we need to be those who are living by faith, striving to do God's will in our lives. Yeah, we're going to stumble. We're going to have our issues every once in a while, but that is why faith is what is important. Because you can never perfectly keep the law all by yourself. But when we strive to live according to his word, then he works in us and through us to do his will. This morning, what is your faith in? Is it in the works that you have done? Is it in the sciences of the world? Is it in God to do his will, to live according to his word? Whatever your choices are in this world, they should be reflected in serving God, striving to do his will. Because when we have that focus, God will be the one to lift us up. He will be the one to make a way for us. And he will make sure that we have a home with him, that our names are written in that book of life.
Amen.
This morning, whatever your needs are, put them in the hands of God. Amen. Lift up your voice to him, and he will provide a way for you for those things to be met. This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.